Okay. So this is a short piece of Gemara that that we're going to be talking about. So I'll pull up. Let me pull the Gemara up on the screen. So the Gemara in on Menachot on Chavtet Amud Aleph. This Gemara appears. This phrase appears identically in. It appears two places here in Menachot on Chavtet and on Sadivav. We can really take it at either place. As well as other places in Shas. So here, let's pull it up. There we go. Okay. So let's do share screen. Share screen. Okay. So the Gemara says, I'll start a little bit above. Amar Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan. Mai dechtiv al haminorah Torah. Shardu ma'aseha mimakom tahara. The menorah came down from heaven, right? Or it was fashioned by God, or fashioned by Moshe, but shown by God. Elimeata al shulchan tahor shardu ma'aseha mimakom tahor. So then, what does the phrase mean with regard to the shulchan? Ela tahor michlal shehu tameh. The fact that it had to say that it's tahor means that it could become tamei. Okay, that's really background to this line. So then the Gemara says, "Bishlamahatam." So by the shulchan, this makes sense. Why is the shulchan susceptible to tuma? Kidereish lakish, the amar reish lakish, because reish lakish said, "My dechtiv ala shulchan atahor, michal shuhu tamei." It is tahor, which means it could be tamei, meaning it could become tamei. Kli eitz ha'asui l'nachadu. V'chol kli eitz ha'asui l'nachad einu mekabel tuma. How can it be that the shulchan can become tamei? And I don't want to get into the details of tarot here, because tarot is phenomenally complicated. But the shulchan is a wood kli, is a wood vessel that's meant to stay in place. And the halacha is that a wood vessel that's meant to stay in place is not susceptible to tumah. So why is the shulchan susceptible to tumah? So the Gemara says, well, there is an exception. When it would come to Aliyah L'Regel, they would pick up the shulchan, and they would show everybody the bread, the omer lahem, and they would say to them, "Re'u chibatchem lifnei hamakom." See how much God loves you. And because it was picked up when it came time for aliyah l'regel, so therefore it isn't asur lenachat. It's not a wood vessel that always stays not moving, and therefore it's susceptible to tumah. And the Gemara says, "My chibatchem." What special love was shown by the shulchan? Kid Rabbi Shua ben Levi. It's as Rabbi Shua ben Levi said. Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Nes Gadol Naasa b'Shulchan Apanim. There was a miracle that would happen with the lechem apanim. Siluko kesiduro, as it would be taken off, was the way it was put on, meaning fresh, hot bread, even though it would be a week from when it was put on. Shneamar, tum lechem cham biyom ilakcho, to place hot bread on the day that it was taken. Right, so the Gemara has this concept that there was something unique about the Shulchan that showed the love of God for the Jewish people, specifically that the bread remained fresh. And again, I'm just going to show you, right, this is Gemara Tzadivav on my bet, where the Gemara appears as well identically, right? Shulchan nami mitaltel malei v'reikon, the Shulchan was also moved. Why? Melamed shemagvino tel olei regalim umarin bo lechem And then again, as Rabbi Shuben Levi says, etc. So I want to try to understand this Agadata, both the technicalities of this Agadata, what's going on, how exactly did they pick up the Shulchan such that everybody would see it, right? This takes a little bit of mental gymnastics to try to figure out exactly how that happened. And then a little bit as well, obviously, on the message. Why is it that the bread staying fresh on the Shulchan was specifically this symbol of the unique love that God has for the Jewish people? Okay? So, now, this isn't the only right time this phrase comes up. I'll just, for example, I put it this Midrash Agadah here. The Midrash Agadah says, "Vaneshev bagay mul beit Peor," that when Moshe reached Eretz Yisrael with the Jews, Amar lehem Moshe, "Ru'uchi batchem lefnei makom." Look how much God loves you. Li Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu shelo ikanes laaretz v'nitmale alai evra kasher. Moshe says to the Jewish people, look how much God loves you. I got angry at you once and hit a rock, and I don't get it to go into Israel. You worshipped Avodah Zarah, and here you are going in. Right. So there is this notion that at different stages when things happen, right, God wants the Jews to know that they are beloved. Now, obviously, if you'd asked me which of these proves it more, is, you know, seeing the fresh bread or this one from Moshe, that one would probably win. But anyway, right, so this is the concept that becomes quite important. So let's before we get into the machshavik aspects, let's first try to flesh out what is even going on here. So let's just turn to this tshuva here on the Radbaz. The Radbaz has a tshuva specifically trying to just understand the technicalities of this Agadata. This is the Chelek Vav. Simon Bet Alafim Kofayin Chet, right? His Tshuva 2178. The Radbaz is one of those people who just has a lot of Tshuva, right? Like the Rashba, the Radbaz, and the Sholu Meshiv are the three that come to mind, who I think each have about 5,000 Tshuvot. And he writes, my dear friend asked me, right? The Gemara that we just said. So he said, what's the problem? Katva Rambam, the Rambam quotes this, v'kasha lecha, hare Yisrael lo haya nechnasin afilu bena ulam v'lam izbeach. Problem. How the heck did the Jews know that the bread was fresh? Right? If I ask you, at what distance can you look at bread and know that it's fresh? What would you say? Right, holding it, maybe if you take it right out of the oven, you're a foot away, you see a little bit of steam. Like, where were the Jews? And if you look at the Rashi and the Tosas I quote just before, right, Tosu notes from Rashi, the Yilu Yisrael, Ayura Ruin Lelech Af Bein Ulam Lamizbeach. But they didn't even go, like, to the place of the Ulam Lamizbeach, meaning they're standing pretty far back. If the Shulchan is being brought, let's say, to the edge of the Kodesh, the Jews are pretty far back, right? They can't stand that close without getting into the whole dimensions of the Mikdash. They're not standing that close, right? That's the problem. They can't even stand at the closer part of the Beit HaMikdash. So how did they see this? Right? Ech yakiru imracho yavesh v'imdo imracho. So he says, Shuba. Amru mishmo. Give me 1 second. They're just asking if I'm coming to Minyan. Raga. Okay. So he says, okay. Amru Mishmo Shel HaRidva Azal. The Ridva says, Shahaya Ole Hevel Mehalechem. How did people know that it was fresh? Because steam was billowing out of it. Uvezehayu Mekiren Shu Cham. And that's how they knew it was hot. Vadayin Lo Yadanu Imzanez Hayatidiri. Oduma Bizman Olea Regalim. We don't know whether this magical steam that came out was always or only during the time of Ola Regel. Uvich Lamashay Yecham. So I get it. You want it to remain warm. So that miracle makes sense every week because the Kohanim eat it. So fine, you want it to be warm. But the steam, why does it have to still be steaming a week later? Unless it's so the Jews would see. And he said, and to be fair, even when you take bread straight out of the oven, it's more when you cut it, right? When you cut it open that it steams, right? Steam doesn't emanate so much from bread. That's just not what it does. So the Ritva must have assumed that every aspect of this from beginning to end was miraculous. So that's the Ritva. But the Radbaz himself says, Avalida'ati ein sorech. Elakach hi atan tan shal dvarim. I don't think that's necessary. And this is what it is. What they would do is they would sort of just tilt it a little bit out so they could see it from far. It's in the north. I don't think they took it outside. Said it must be that they didn't actually bring the shulchan. Yes, the Gemara says that they moved the shulchan, because otherwise, if you remember, it wouldn't be susceptible to tuma. But he said, I think what they did was they tilted it so people saw it, and then they would take the bread, right, so that people would know that it was the new bread, it was the old bread rather, and bring the bread so that they could see it. She'avru alav chet yamim v'adayinu cham, v'ose neizeh she'atem chavivin lefanav, v'afilu ba'atzeretim lo chal b'shabbat, efshar hayu metakvim lerod ha'nezim, lo adegu kvar akiru ha'nezim ha'regim she'avru, and he said, okay, maybe they didn't do it every time. They would do it on the Shabbat of the Chag, right? Obviously, it had to be the Shabbat of the Chag, because that's when they switched the bread. So therefore, on Pesach and Sukkot, it would be on Shabbat Chol HaMoed, on Shavuot, he says, it would only be for those who stuck around for Shabbos. And if they didn't see it every single time they were Ola Regel, so okay, so they saw it on Pesach and Sukkot, if not on Shavuot. They couldn't take the kli out because it had to, the lechem apanim must always be in the Kodesh. And that's why Rashi and Tosfot, and that's the one we just saw, said that they used to warn people not to touch the Shulchan. And Rashi and Tosfot say, who did they warn not to touch the Shulchan? Only Kohanim who are Amei Aretz, because they never needed to warn the Jews, because the Jews never came close enough. So the Ritva, right, clearly thinks that the actual Shulchan was brought out and they would see the steam. The Radbaz claims that only the bread was brought out, but the Shulchan never moved from its place. Okay. Yeah, question. It's 8 days old because it would, right, it's the eighth day. Right? Meaning it would go. Did someone else join us? Oh, hey, Rafi. Um, How you doing? Okay. We actually had rain today, which was quite surprising. Yeah. It would be very close. There's still 11 centimeters, but it's unlikely. Yeah. Oh well. Well, we can. No, we can go see it. Buses, they're starting to run again. I think so. I don't know. I would love to see it. Anyways, so good to see you, Rafi. Okay. So back to the Red Baz. So the Red Baz says, there we go. Okay. Vim Tomar, Akati Imnitma Mamash, Mata Kana Yeshlahem. And he says, okay, if it became Tumah, what would you actually do? So what would they do? They'd be Makdish a second one. So etc. Let's skip down. Okay, if you're interested, you can look at all that's going on. But fine. The two, Imhaya F. Charlotte Ciel, Lamo Imazirim, shall you go bo Yitbulu, Toga Sharkola, fine. He says, what's his proof that they didn't move it out? Again, I'm skipping some of the Toma and Tara stuff here. Is Imhayu Motziimoto, if they actually were bringing it out, Lamo Yitzchichim, right? His proof that it never actually came out. Was that it says they lifted it up and that's how they saw it. Hare roim oto galom de mazara. Ubishlam la fimai de pashin shama mishkin oto minatsa fon lo petach haichal. I know she's going to be okay de shiro oto. If I'm right, that they didn't actually take it outside. They sort of picked it up and leaned it out towards the Jews. That's why you got to pick it up. But if you were actually bring it out, once you, if you think you're allowed to bring it out, so bring it out, bring it close to them. Right, etc. The two dafilu tema shemotzina to Israel adayin lo teirat makushya shereayu mazir no tam shaligu b'shulchan veich yakiru malechem cham olo. But he said we still are stuck with this problem of how exactly would they know that it's hot or not? So Ella hanachon mashe katavti shaloyim motzina to minayichal. They didn't take it out. Umarim do laam va'omrim, meaning the table, va'omrim lohem ru'u kama chibatchem lefneim. Kadosh Baruch Hu shows lachem neiz zeh shadayin alechem cham umiyad misadrim hamaaracha motzi alechem roim shadayin ucham yom sidura b'haim damrinon beperakam alechem apanim neizi debaray etc. So there's basically right two possibilities in terms of, and again there's a lot of this tarot in the issue. To summarize it, the Radbaz thinks that the Shulchan is never allowed out. And therefore, he thinks that the only way to explain this Gemara is that they would tilt the, they would bring it towards the entrance of the Heichal, tilt it so everyone can see it, but then they would take the bread off and they would circulate with the bread. The Ritva seems to say that the table, the Shulchan actually stayed inside. No, sorry. The Shulchan actually came outside to the cusp. But the problem is that even if you brought the Shulchan right to the entrance, the Radbaz notes that wouldn't necessarily help because the Jews weren't right at the border from between the Azara and the Heichal. They were standing far back. And therefore, the Ritva is problematic. So the Ritva claims that they would bring it to the entrance and there was steam billowing out. And apparently that was enough. People could see it from a distance. The Radbaz says, I don't buy that. I think that the Shulchan stayed where it was, and rather the bread was brought out, and they would circulate with the bread. And if you bring the bread like up to people's faces, So maybe they'll be able to see the steam or sense that it's hot or something like that. Okay, so those are just practically the right, some of the logistics of how exactly the Jews were seeing it. Were they seeing it on the Shulchan and the Shulchan was actually brought to the entrance, or were they only seeing the bread? And if you're interested in this, you can see here that I gave you, you know, I have the Daf Al Hadaf here, where he just goes through a long discussion going on and on and on endlessly about what this, how exactly the logistics here works. He quotes the Radbaz, and he notes that it's a machloket. Again, is it that the Shulchan would come out, the bread would come out? Right, again, that the Radbaz thinks that it's the bread, and the Ritva thinks that it's the Shulchan itself. And he goes through that other Rishonim seem to sound like the Ritva as well, like the Shita Mikubetzet, who says that they would magbian oto Shulchan Marin alai lahem lechem apanim, they would show the lechem apanim on the Shulchan, which sounds like they showed the Shulchan with the bread, unlike the Radbaz. And he notes that as well in the Yerushalmi, the simple implication is that it's the Shulchan as well, where the phrase is that Amar Elazar b'Shem Rishim ben Lakish Hashulchan lamatame b'mneishim motzinu marin laolei harigalim, which sounds like the table itself is coming out. Okay. Now, there is another level of complexity here, which is why are you allowed to bring it out? So the Chazon Ish just says, it's Gzeiras HaKasuv, right? Normally, you're not allowed to bring anything out of the place in the Mikdash where it's supposed to be. So the Chazon Ish says, okay, so apparently it's Gzeiras HaKasuv that you're allowed to show it to the Olei Regalim. I don't know what else to tell you, right? It's an exception to the rule. Deal with it. It's an exception. That's what it is, okay? So again, there's a lot here in the lumdus of the of Tarot and Kudshim of why you're allowed to do this, etc. Okay. Fine. Okay, I'm gonna skip down through some of these technicalities. Okay, let's try to get to. Let's look here at the Torah Tamima, and try to see. Okay, well, once we figure out how exactly they did this, why is this important, right? Why exactly is the Shulchan the Kli and the fresh bread, the Kli, to indicate God's unique love for us? And what exactly does this that tell us about the message of this Agadata? Okay? So here I have a few possibilities. So if you look at the Torah Tamima says as follows, Ashulchan HaTahor, Amar Eish Lakish, Mai Dichtiv Ashulchan HaTahor, Melameid Shemagbiyan Oto Lefnei Olei Regalim, Va'omer Lahem Riru Chibatchem Lefnei Makom. Siluko kisiduro. The Amr of Shuvan Levi Nevka Dol Nasav Lechem Apanim kisiduro kach siluko shneamar etc. And he says, Vine mashma midrash ragemora shalechem hayacham mamash beit siluko kmo b'shat siduro. So he says, first of all, the simple pshat in the Gemara is that hot means hot, not just fresh. And that's what we saw for sure in the Ritva, because the Ritva says that how did they know it was fresh? Because smoke, steam was still billowing out of it. Aval Tosvot katvu dapir kisiduro kach siluko ratzol moshaya rach aval cham mamash lo haya. Tosvot seems to say that it was soft and fresh, not that it was hot. The Torah Tamim himself says, "V'li kasha davar lahavin acharei dekvi amavur begemara yaneiz gadol nase bechamimut lechem apanim imkena lo efshar lomar kipshuto mamash de'ein v'shivin al ma'asa nisem." The Torah Tamim says, "I don't know what Tosfot gained from that, meaning bread staying fresh for a week, is a miracle already. Once you're dealing on the plane of miracles, I don't know why you need to minimize it and say it wasn't hot, it was just fresh but not warm. And therefore he says, pshat is, like the Ritva, that it's hot. And he says, Achal klal drasha zon mirvor. De'efo mirumaz b'lashon ha'pasuk ze inyan ze k'sidiro k'achzer luko. He said, but where exactly did Chazal get this from? She'acham b'lo milakho. Ve'efshar lomar, k'ne t'chila ha'pasuk k'achu. Va'yitein lo'akoein kodesh, ki lo ha'yasham lechem, ki em lechem ha'panim, ma'mosarim levni lefnei Hashem, azum lechem cham b'yom milakho. Uve'er ha'inyan, because we have a pasuk by David HaMelech, where the Kohanim told him that the only bread we have is the Lechem HaPanim, which is Cham B'yomi Lako. Meaning, Kishabat David Lachimelech HaKohen, Vayishal Mimenu Lechem Lecho, Lashkit Ravano. And he said, I'm starving. It tells you that it was, right? The Apostle is very long, and it says, Lasum Lechem Cham B'yomi Lako Miyudar. This phrase, to give him warm bread, is extra. So it sounds like the emphasis is that it's warm. So he says the story in Navi of David HaMelech coming to the Kohanim and saying, I'm starving. The whole point of that story is to show that the lechem upon him is really holy. How do you know it's really holy? Because look, there are miracles happening with it, and he still gave the bread to David because pikuach nefesh is even more important than the kedusha of the lechem upon him. Okay, that's how the Torah Tamima understands the story by David HaMelech. But if you stop there and you said, okay, well, what is the point of this miracle according to the Torah Tamima, what would you say? I'll be honest, not much, right? Meaning one very simple level at understanding this Agadata is to say, look, it was a miracle. It stayed fresh. What else do you want from my life, right? There's nothing unique about the bread except that it's holy. In order to show that it was holy, God did miracles with it. The fact that there's miracles in the Mikdash at all shows that God loves the Jewish people. End of story. Why are you picking at it? And that seems to be the way the Torah Tamima takes it, right? So I think one level in understanding this Agadata is simply that there's nothing here that's specific to the Lechem Apanim. It's just miracles in general show that God loves us. Miracles in the Mikdash show that God appreciates the Kedusha. So the fact that the bread stayed fresh because it was holy shows that there's such a thing as holiness and that God cares, and he gave us the Beit HaMikdash where miracles happen, and you could have said, and literally anything that happened in the Mikdash. And just like we saw at the beginning, that Midrash, that when Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the Jewish people and says, hey, you're going to Israel, look, God loves you. It could just be that basically every time there's any evidence that God is showing favoritism to the Jewish people or doing miracles to the Jewish people, that's evidence that God loves them, and there's really nothing unique to the Lechem upon him. So that is, I think, you know, not maybe the direction I would take, but you can't deny that that is, you know, at least one possible way of understanding this Agadata, right? Is to really say that we're overthinking it if we think that it's unique to the Lechem upon him. It's just about miracles in general. That's one level of understanding this. However, I think the simpler pshat is, well, the Gemara doesn't actually say it by anything else in the Mishkan. It says it specifically by the bread, the lechem apanim. And therefore, we should take the Gemara at its word, and we should say that this miracle is something unique to the lechem apanim. There's something about the lechem apanim, something about the shulchan, that is particularly susceptible to showing God's love to the Jewish people. So I was searching around because I really, I had some thoughts, but I wanted to see someone say something. So here's a sefer I've never heard of before, by the Kohelet Moshe, but it was online, and therefore it came up in a search, where he quotes Rav Moshe Kohen Mitikhtin, who I can't say that I am super familiar with either of them, but he is a person of significance. Look, the Kohelet Moshe I found, he's on Wikitext. That's how I found him, okay? He's on Wikitext. Let's see if I can get his, who is it? It is Chibreim HaDarshan HaMifursam Moshe Ben Avram HaKohen with Chidushim of Shimshon from Ostropol. Yonatan of Prague, and then Yitzhak Horowitz of Hamburg, and other Gaonim. Okay, it's a collection of drasha that were collected by Moshe, this Moshe ben Avram from Shimshon Astropoli, Yonatan of Prague, Yitzhak Horowitz of Hamburg, and other great people. Okay? I don't know what to tell you, okay? I don't know what to tell you. It is a collection of interesting drashot by someone that I don't really know. But apparently it was important enough to somebody to type it up and put it on Wikitext. Okay? So that is how I found it. And I am happy always to learn a new sefer that I've never seen before in my life. There's a, you guys remember, you know, it's, I feel like, you remember when, what's his name? Rabbi Schmidman came from Lower Merion. You remember that? And Rabbi Wasserman introduced him that his shtick is that at Shalosh Shudas he uses a different sefer every Shalosh Shudas, and in his 10 or 15 years in the shul, he's never repeated a sefer. This way he gets to meet new svarim and new authors, right? So I'm not quite that dogmatic about finding new people, but if I come across something new, so then... Great. Let's see if I can find anything about, I don't know. I don't know if I can find anything about him. The Kohelet Moshe. That's what I find about him. That his name is Moshe ben Avram HaKohen. Moshe ben Avraham HaKohen. He's probably going to tell me he's the author of the Kohelet Moshe. I don't, you know. Yeah, searching, that's basically what I get, is that he wrote this. That he wrote this book. That's what I know about him. He wrote this book. Okay? Fine. Anyways, but it's a collection of drashot. And in it, he quotes an analysis of this Gemara. So he says, V'samta otam shtayim arachot sheish ha-ma'arechet al ha-shulchan ha-tahor. You should put the lechem apanim on the shulchan, two rows of six. Uparach haGemara tar michal shu tamei v'klaetz asui lenachat eno mikabel tuma. The Gemara asks, you said it's tahor. That means it could become tamei. Ela milamei shayu magbiyana tamar natalo lerigalim v'omrim. How could it become tamei? Because they picked it up. Ruchi batchem lefnei makom sheesilu kol kishidro dechtev lechem cham biomilakho. So he says, nechbedu kol mafarshim. All mafarshim are bothered. Halo asaran yisim as hayu bebein hamikdash. There were 10 miracles in the Beit HaMikdash. V'lo nireh shum chiba rak b'lechem apanim she'acham kol ha'shavua. I don't understand. Right? The Torah Tamima just saying, oh, well, it's holy. That doesn't seem to cut it. Because the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos tells us that there's 10 miracles every day in the Beit HaMikdash, or all the time in the Beit HaMikdash. And this is the only one that shows the unique love? I mean, why is that? Right now, again, you could answer what I think the Torah Tumim is getting at is, I don't know, you could have said it about everything, but Chazal said about this. You're right. Every miracle shows that God loves the Jewish people. Okay? Don't make too much of it. But the Kohelet Moshe says, what are you talking about? Right? The Gemara said it by the Shulchan and the warm bread. It didn't say it by every other miracle. It just didn't. So what is unique about this miracle? So he says, V'teretz mori v'chatni ha'gaon. So if that is, I'm going to guess that that's mori v'chatni. That's what it usually is. Mori v'chatni means my master and father-in-law. If I'm reading it correctly, that means his father-in-law is Rav Moshe HaKohen Mitikton, which is also not somebody that I'm like super familiar with. So that doesn't, you know, help me so much. But okay, maybe this Kohelet Moshe is related to Rav Moshe of Tikton. Okay, so he says Deita Lama Haya. So he connects it. His answer is as follows. He says Rav Moshe of Tikton says that Lama Haya Man Yored B'Chol Yom V'Lom Pam Achat Kol Hashavua. He asks a totally different question. He says, why did the man come down every day? Why didn't God basically, you know, like, we go shopping, usually not during quarantine world, once a week. You know, I don't like running around to stores. I don't really have so much time to do that. So we try to do a big shop for the whole week. And it makes it easier than I have everything in my fridge, in my freezer, in my shelves. Right? During quarantine, I try to go shopping as little as possible. So I stock up for weeks at a time. But normally you go once a week. So Rav Moshe Mitikton said, why is it that God didn't let the Jews basically get, you know, one delivery from the heavenly supersol per week, right? Get a huge shipment of man at the beginning of the week, right? Why is he making them get it every single day? V'terpsu, and he said, answer one, k'dei she'hei lahem pat chama b'chol yom. Answer one was so the Jews would have fresh bread, because fresh bread and apparently even fresh man is better than weak old man. Okay, that's great. V'i bayit ema, mashal ven melech sha'ahov la'aviv bioter. The mashal is as follows. You have a prince who his father really loves him. Aviv kovelo parnasa b'chol makom kidei she'yireh imo b'chol yom. So his father doesn't give him all of his food for a week. What does he do? He gives him food every day. Why? So that he has an excuse to see his son every day. V'zeh machmar ava yetera. Right? It was like, you know, during quarantine, it was like one of those things that one of the reasons that we were allowed to keep to like drop in, at least at the earlier stages of the quarantine, drop in the apartments, was because we were allowed to check on how things were going. We were allowed to make sure there was food. We were allowed to make sure that everything was running smoothly. So like you could always use it as an excuse. I'm bringing a few boxes of cereal. I'm making sure that the guys have peanut butter. And if the police asked you, again, in the earlier stages, doesn't say, you know, we're allowed to check in, make sure people are okay, make sure they have supplies. We're allowed to do that. So he says that's what God is doing, right? God is saying, right, a king who wants his son to show up every day will say, I'll give you food once a day. And God loves the Jews. So God also gave them the man every day so that each day they'd, you know, be looking towards God. So then the Kohelet Moshe says, Aval haga atzmecha, izetam hu emet. Which one is the real reason? Was it because God wanted them to have fresh bread or because he loved them? He said, it must be that the real reason is love. He said, what's my proof that the real reason that God gave the Jews man every day was because he wanted to have a relationship with them? Because we know that God is fully capable of keeping bread fresh for an entire week. And now he says, you know, this is one of those things that only like a professional darshan would come up with. But this is what he says. V'zeh ma'amar ha-gemara. This is what the Gemara meant. Re'u chibatchem lefnei hamakom, b'pnei chibah haya haman yored b'chol yom. So this is the mental gymnastics that he pulls. And he says, aha, you're right. It's clear that there's something unique about the Shulchan that shows that God loves the Jewish people. But the Kohelet Moshe was at a complete loss as to figuring out how exactly the hot bread on the Lechem Apanim showed that God loved the Jewish people more than anything else. So, how is he going to... methodologically speaking, if you don't know why the Lechem Apanim shows that God loves the Jewish people more than anything else, so one point is to say, like the Torah Tumimah, maybe it's just that it's holy, right? He seems to be saying it's nothing unique. But if you're convinced that it's unique, but you have no idea how to explain it, so one methodological move is to say that there's a key missing piece of information, and really the key to this Gemara has nothing to do with anything you see in the Gemara, it's about something else. And the Kohelet Moshe says, aha, I have this brilliant kinach. What is it? Really, it has nothing to do with Lechem Apanim. It goes like this. How do we know that God loves us? Because he gave us the man every day in the Midbar, because he really wanted us to have a relationship with us daily. And I understand how wanting to have a relationship with someone daily is evidence of love. Ah, but how do we know that the reason that God gave us the man every day was because he loved us and wanted to have a constant relationship with us? Because the Lechem Apanim stayed hot. And that proves that if God wanted to, he could have given us a big shipment of man at the beginning of the week to last us the whole week, because he does it with the Lechem Apanim. So when we look at the Lechem Apanim and realize that God is fully capable of giving us food that will remain fresh indefinitely, and then that jogs our memory to the time that God used to give us heavenly bread and gave it to us every day, we'll go back in our minds and say, oh, the reason God must have given us our daily bread rather than our weekly bread is not because God was incapable of keeping it fresh, because he's capable of keeping it fresh. How do I know he's capable of keeping it fresh? Because he does it with the Lechem Apanim. He must have given us bread on a daily basis because he loved us and wanted to be in relationship with us daily. So that is the very brilliant, but the type of thing that only a professional darshan could come up with, because it's the... almost literally the Deus Ex Machina, right? It's the God, right, that comes out. It's the you know what that phrase is, right? No.
Yeah.
Deus Ex Machina, right? So it's a phrase, which means, right, the technical translation is an unexpected power or event saving a seemingly hopeless situation, especially as a contrived plot device in a play or novel. But it actually comes from, right, that it's like God is the, right, unexpected power, right? It's the God that comes out of... So here, that's basically what he pulls. He said, right, that the secret here is that it has nothing to do with what you're looking at. It's, this shows you about how the way God functions in other places. So that is solution two to this Gemara, right? Solution one is, maybe it could be every miracle. Nothing special. Solution two is, there has to be something about the Lechem Apanim, but I really don't know what. So let's look for the answer externally and say, it's not the Lechem Apanim per se, it's that the Lechem Apanim indicates that God is capable of keeping food fresh, which means that the reason that he gave us man every day was not to be fresh, because he knows how to keep bread fresh if he wants to. Rather, it must be because he wanted to have a relationship. And the key to understanding that God loves you is that over there in the Midbar, God went out of his way to make sure that you'd have to be in relationship with him by having you come over to get your daily ration of bread. That is the very clever, but very, surprising reason of the Kohelet Moshe. And in the footnote here, they note, right, that in the Maram Tikten, he says that the ruach ibatchem lo chozer alechem apanim. Right, what you learn from here is that the ruach ibatchem is not really about the bread at all. It's el al haman shemilechem apanim til medu ad kama haya chibatchem behorat adaman ki yatzata mimitzrayim. That the look at the lechem apanim, remember that God loved you in the midbar. Okay, and then in the footnote here, he notes that this is really strange. Megamara mashma lokach. This doesn't sound right. She ruuchi batchem chozer alechem apanim. The simple pshat is that it's inherent in the lechem apanim, right? Not that it's just because it's a miracle, and not because it tells you something else. He says vamotzi legamre. The Gemara mi pashta pashut. He said this is like the classic example of taking something and learning it as not pshat. He says, "Madua hayitzrichim lomar ruchi batchem al haman shiarad ba midbar lufnei meot shanim v'lo sarnim shunasum lahem achshav lufnei nehem." How does it make any sense to say that there are 10 miracles going on every day? Right? This only makes the question worse. Right? Remember how the Kol Moshe started is that there's 10 daily miracles in the Mishkan. So this footnoter says, "I don't understand. You're telling me that there are 10 daily miracles in the Mishkan, and the only way that we knew God loved us is because two or three times a year we would see that the bread remained warm, and that would remind us that God is capable of keeping bread warm, and therefore hundreds of years ago when he gave us the man daily is because he loved us? Why don't you just say God loves you because there are miracles going on left, right, and center in the Beit HaMikdash?" Good. So I think I'm not yet satisfied with these answers. So I think that the pshat is going to have to be something that ties this directly to the lechem apanim and something to do with the bread itself. Otherwise, I think that this agadata is just, you know, inscrutable. And I found two people who basically took this approach. One is the Ben Yehoyada in a short little comment over here. And the other was an article I found in English by Rabbi Jack Bieler quoting Rabbi David Silber over here. Okay. So the Ben Yehoyada, who's the Ben Yehoyada? Guys, who's the Ben Yehoyada? Okay, so the Ben Yehoyada is someone I actually do know, unlike the Kohelet Moshe, who I have no idea. The Ben Yehoyada is, well, if I read you his name, maybe you'll know who he is. Okay? I'm going to pray now that if I read you his name, you'll know who he is. His name is Yosef Chaim Ben Eliyahu Mi Baghdad. Please tell me you know who that is. What?
You're not gonna like my answer.
Yeah. What's your answer? Oh my God. Okay. You probably know him better by his nickname, and that is the Ben Ish Chai.
Oh.
Have you at least heard of the Ben Ish Chai?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Okay. At least you've heard of the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai. Here, so we get a picture. Here's the Ben Ish Chai. That's. He has the most intense beard and eyes ever, as you can see. Absolutely terrifying looking.
Oh, yes, yes.
It's like Yosef Chaim of Baghdad. He's one of the most important Sfardi poskim. And his main halacha sefer is called the Ben Ish Chai. That's why he's known the Ben Ish Chai. Okay? Is a collection of halachot based on everyday life with a mixture of Kabbalah and Minhagim are arranged according to Parsha. Okay? He is like the, you know, one of the most important poskim of the Sephardi world. So he's 19th century going into the 20th. So that's the Ben Ish Chai. So he also has a Peirush on Agadata called Ben Yehoyada. And he writes in a short comment, he says, Nira li b'tziyata d'shmaya, tam l'neis zeh, Lamdenu ala Torah sher muza belechem apanim, sheyeh hitlavut vechamimut cheshek haadam ba besof shat limud, shen yage kehetchalat shat limudo shalayin lo yaga, etc. He said, the lechem apanim is hinted at to in the Torah is hinted at in the Lechem Apanim. I'm not really sure why. I'm sure he has a reason for this. But he said the point of this is to show that your excitement in Talmud Torah should be the same when you start and at the end, right? Meaning, he says, the point of this is to show, and if I want to sort of express it a little bit more, I would say it as follows, right? He doesn't fully flesh it out, but I think this is how you have to flesh it out. The warmth, freshness is almost universally understood to be a symbol of vibrance, excitement, right? I mean, that's how we talk, right? It's fresh rather than stale, right? We use those emotionally as well. And he says, God is trying to teach us that we should be as excited when we start the process as when we end the process, meaning you should always maintain a certain level of commitment and intensity. And I think what you have to say is that because, I mean, according to him, the Lechem Apanim in some way represents Torah, which is why he thinks it. But I think the way you'd have to read it, according to him, is that if God shows that, you know, even though the nature of bread is that it slowly dries out and becomes less appealing, if God shows that when you put, you know, his bread, so to speak, on his shulchan, that he keeps its freshness from beginning to end, which means that his relationship with us is as fresh at the beginning when we first bring it to him as a week later when it's time to switch, then that should inspire us to be able to similarly maintain a certain level of excitement. Because if God is excited always, so to speak, right, God is invested in our relationship, then we should be invested in the relationship. And he thinks that fresh bread, right, staying fresh and not losing its warmth and losing its freshness throughout the week, which is what you would expect, the fact that God performs that miracle is symbolic of the fact that just because the normal way that things happen is that the beginning is exciting and then, you know, Elul is easy and then like the middle of Chorev Zman when it's snowing is hard. You know, like those days when it was pouring rain and I had to beat my head, you know, beat my head a million times to get you guys to come to Shacharis, right? Which, you know, now I don't do. What?
I was there.
You were there.
Thanks,
Jesus, you're right. Some of you were there. But as a rule, you know, we understand, you know, the middle of Charizman, Shacharis, as frustrating as it is, Shacharis gets a little bit less. You know, you get less into it. And he says, if God shows that he doesn't let your gift to him become stale, then that should be symbolic for you that you shouldn't do it. And that, I think, already comes much closer to answering what is going on here. And a similar idea appears here from Rai Silber, quoted by Yaakov Bieler. Let's get to the here. He quotes the psukim here, and then he quotes the Gemara. Okay, so let me just start the relevant piece, and I'll just read through it. Okay, here. Ray Silverberg was, not David Silver. He quotes David Silverberg. Sorry. Yeah, David Silverberg. Okay, he writes, Ray Silverberg, David, yeah. Who I also know, but different person. I could have probably found the original from Ray Silverberg, but I didn't. Okay. He says, Ray Silverberg addresses the technical problem of how the pilgrims who wouldn't be eating the bread could possibly know the bread and remain fresh throughout the week of its having been placed upon the shulchan aside from simply believing the claim of the Kohanim. So he cites the Ritva that we've already seen, that we have learned 10 miracles were wrought in the temple, no woman miscarried with the scent of the holy flesh never became putrid, no fly was seen in the slaughterhouse, no ritual impurity ever befell the high priest on the Day of Atonement, no rain ever quenched the fire of the wood pile on the altar, neither did the wind overcome the column of smoke that arose therefrom, nor was ever found any disqualifying defect in the Omer sacrifice or the two loaves or on the showbread. Though the people stood closely pressed together, they still found wide spaces between them to prostrate themselves, which is how I felt with, quarantine minyanim. Now that we're allowed to daven outside again, you know, but keep 2 meters, right? Which is about 4 amot, you know, something like that, right? That's every time they would bow, they would have enough space that you couldn't get infected with the coronavirus, right? That's basically how I think about it now.
I'm not quite sure if it's halachas or not, you know, separation of a 4 amot separation between people.
I mean, that's basically, you know, that's basically what I feel now. Yeah. So, anyways, so he says,
quarantine improving dominance.
Yeah, that's what I basically feel like. He said, anyways, never did serpent or scorpion injure anyone in Jerusalem, nor did ever man say to his fellow, the place is now for me to stay overnight. Ritva, it seems to me that at the time of the place and the rule of Lachampanim was so hot to the point that steam would rise from it, like bread first being taken out of an oven. It would be impossible for them, the pilgrims, to see this miracle from afar other than by means of what we have pointed out. What might the significance of such an association be? Ray Silverberg concludes, a number of writers have suggested that the lasting freshness of the Lechem Apanim, and this is what we saw already in the Ben Ish Chai, but he sort of develops it, symbolized the long-lasting impact of the visit to the Beit HaMikdash and of the experience of standing in God's presence. When the people came for the regalim and were able to experience the special joy and exhilaration of the sight of the Shekhinah, they might become disheartened by the knowledge that they would soon return home to their regular routine. They could easily feel distressed over the fact that they received the inspiration of the Beit HaMikdash only 3 times a year and spent the rest of the year engaged primarily in the pursuit of a livelihood through their engagement in mundane work. The Kohanim and the Mikdash therefore sought to encourage the people by assuring them, Siluko kesiduro, it is taken away as fresh as when it was set down. We are all capable, to one degree or another, of maintaining the freshness and enthusiasm of an inspirational experience. The emotional effects of the, of the visit to the Beit HaMikdash would not likely retain their intensity through the coming months, but they would not entirely disappear either. By making a commitment to inject the Kedusha represented by the temple into their daily routine, the people had the opportunity to preserve at least some of their excitement and elevation they experienced during the festival celebration in the Mikdash, and thereby raise their lives to a higher level of religious devotion. So now, if you ask me, I think that this is really right, right? This is really a development of the Ben Ish Chai. Right, that it's saying that if God is exciting your relationship, then you should be capable of holding on to that as well. But now if you ask me, okay, but why was that miracle specifically represented with the Lechem HaPanim? So I would say that I think, you know, the way it's phrased here is right, is that the key is that the reason that sometimes people feel like they're not inspired is they feel like their life is mundane. You have these like spiritual highs and then the inspiration peters off. What thing in the Beit HaMikdash is most symbolic of mundane life? I would say it's bread, which is like the most basic food substance. It's like, right? If you have nothing else, people for thousands of years, they ate bread before people didn't eat carbs. Right? But for thousands of years, that was people ate, right? That was the cheap food. You ate bread. It was the basic staple of life. And I think that it was specifically the bread where God wanted to show the miracle, which was, look, even something as simple as bread, as basic as bread, can represent the continuing enthusiasm that can exist in the relationship between God and you and you and God. And I think that maybe that's why it's specifically with the Lechem HaPanim that God wanted to show, look, it's possible to maintain an excited, a certain level of excitement, at least from beginning to end of the process. But to remind the people, to inspire the people when they were Ole Regel, which is when they saw this, that they could bring that inspiration, even though it's hard, back into their regular everyday lives, the object of that miracle was the most mundane symbol that can possibly exist in the Beit HaMikdash, and that is bread. So I think that's how I would explain this Agadata. So just to review what we've seen. First, we went through a bit of the technicalities, right? Did they take the shulchan out, take the bread out? And that depends on a lot of the Tumah and Tara issues. What exactly did they see? Did they see steam coming out, which is the Ritva, because he assumes that they're taking the shulchan to the edge, so you have to see it from afar. The Radba says, no, maybe they were circulating the bread, so it was easier to see. That was some of the technicalities. Then what does it mean? So it could just be, look, you could have said Riechi Batchem about any miracle. They just happened to say it about this miracle. Okay. Then there was the Maram Tikten Kohelet Moshe, who said, I am totally baffled. I know that this is something unique here, but I don't know what it is. It must be that the fact that bread is hot shows you that God can keep bread fresh for a week, which means that when he gave the man every day, it wasn't so the Jews would have fresh bread. It was so that they would be in relationship with him every day. And that shows that God loves them, which is obviously very problematic because there are 10 miracles going on in the Beit HaMikdash every day. They should show that God loves you now rather than what happened hundreds of years ago in the Mishkan. And therefore, we really should look for something which is more local to Lechem Upanim. One possibility is the Ben Yoyada, the Ben Ishchai, which is that in some way Lechem Upanim represents Torah. And Torah is a challenge, but you should try to keep up your excitement from beginning to end. What I think is more likely, and this is what is developed in this last piece we saw, is that maybe this is a general statement that, you know, we know you are, it's easy to lose inspiration, but we're showing you that it's possible symbolically. But I would add, why the Lechem Upanim? Not necessarily because of what Ben Yoyada said, which is that it represents Torah, but rather that it just represents the ability to have God present even in the mundane. And for the Ole Regalim who were getting their, you know, three times a year injection of spiritual inspiration, it was important to show them that just as you leave now, when you come back, you could be as inspired. And I think the symbolic way of showing that is in bread, which is by definition just so mundane and so representative of everyday human life. That is specifically the object in which God can point to it and say, look, I care about you. Right, and inspiration can last because if my love and my miracles can last from beginning to end on this mundane object, then you should be inspired to maintain in your own mundane lives a certain level of connection with God, of intensity and inspiration, even though it's hard. And I think that last shot, I think does already explain why it would be specifically the Lechem Upanim. Because again, Lechem is that object that represents the mundane, and being able to say that there is constant inspiration even in the mundane is exactly the message that the Ole Regalim needed to hear just before they left and didn't come back until, you know, several months later, which was that even in something as mundane as bread, if you have a relationship with God, it can be inspired from beginning to end. And so I think that is the symbolism here, and why it specifically had to be the Lechem Upanim. And I hope that is sufficient, unlike some of the other answers, to explain the totality of this Gemara. If you have other ideas, let me know. But those are my thoughts on this Agarata. Okay. Anyways, it is good to see you guys. The most of you.